Good afternoon. Welcome to the FTS Bet Slip on Monday, the 18th of January, 2021. Pod number 726 and Mindset Monday 2 of 2021. I'll get to that in a minute. NFL didn't have the bets, but didn't the old Browns had me sweating. I started feeling a little bit shaky in the legs when they got some momentum coming back. Mahonis out injured, concussed. Looked like when he got up, he looked like he'd had the old FTS headbutt. So as the purveyor of such, I've seen people get up like that. It'd be interesting to see. Obviously, it's out of his hands whether he's deemed fit or not now. It will go to the independent body on that, on whether he is allowed to play. If he doesn't, you've got to say that the Bills probably become favourites. And then I said to you, didn't I, had a sneaky feeling that Brady boy would do it. And amazing. I mean, we could be on for a right story here. Him leaving New England, going to Tampa. Drew Brees just didn't show up, did he? 4 interceptions. I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed watching that game. I got right into it. I was happy for either of them to win. But we could be in for a fairy tale. Amazing stuff, Brady, to get to the championship game, to be fair. I don't think people would have had that at the start of the year. Thoroughly enjoyable. But the highlight being them Browns have been booked it, backed it, fucked off out of it. And then the old football at Atlanta, saw they drew 0-0, probably done a few nuts for people there on the goals. Everybody associates Atlanta with goals. Prime example there of price. I don't know, what were they, probably about 1.3, 1.4 over 2.5. And Ajax only 1-0. Indeed, we were in I have a little group where we've got just a little betting system going, and it involves either backing or laying at half time, and this was laying over 2.5 goals at half time, and one of the group popped up with the little stat, I can't remember the exact numbers, but something like Ajax, when it's been this at half time 16 times, all 16 have had 2 more goals. Had to reprimand him. Price, my friend, price, it is all in the price. And sure enough, no further goals. Of course, I didn't tell him I told you so later. I just kept quiet. And then after that, I last night put a late goal on the Telegram group, 0-0. Gil Vicente Moriente, was it? 0-0 going into the last 10 minutes. And I put that up to lay under 0.5. Couple of DMs. Oh, I don't touch games with 0-0. Why not? Why? Never can give you a reason. Why not? Why did you pick that there? Price, my friends. Price for that situation. And of course, the goal came. There you go. And the old Spuds won 3-1, didn't they? Spuds won 3-1. I actually didn't realise. I knew Sheffield United had been bad, but because I don't watch football, when they put the stats up for them, it's just horrific, isn't it? I would have said we were going to win when I started seeing all that. They're down. I did say it a while back that they were down, but I just didn't realise how poor they had been. And Ndombele's goal, absolutely superb. Took it brilliantly, graceful. And then I didn't see the Liverpool United game, but sounded a load of old shite, to be honest. And City, what did they put, 4-5 past Palace, was it? I didn't see it. Looked to be making ominous strides, but what are they, won? I thought, when I looked briefly yesterday, they were about 1.65 to win the league. Not for me at that price. It will shorten. They have a number of easy on paper games, if you like. Burnley, West Brom, Fulham, I think, coming up in the next 3 or 4 games. Expect them to probably win those, so they'll shorten further, and then I may get a lay-in. You're going to perhaps have the Villa game postponed. They're going to have a pile-up of fixtures. They've got the cup final with us, Europe starting. It's the same old story for me with things like this. People trying to award the title in what would be November, December, but January now, obviously, because we're in a shortened period to play the season. But Of course, they'll be there. I think Liverpool, City, United are nailed on top three, but I don't think that they're 1.6 shots at the minute with 19 games to go. I did ask Suggsy after the United result, is he still holding firm that United don't finish top four? He's sticking. He's staying in there. He's not backing down. I said, do you still think United are going to get top four? He said, well, Chelsea will need to get a move on because he thinks it's going to be Tottenham, Liverpool, City, Tottenham, Chelsea, I think he said it was. He just said he's a bit worried that Chelsea need to get a spurt on. I think he's flipping deluded. That's who I've put in. I think Leicester won't go away for, you know, unless they get injuries. I don't think they'll go away. But there we go. Okay, right. Let's move on to Mindset Week 2 of 2021. I did say last week we're going to be going over stuff that I've done before, and I'm not going to make apologies for that. In effect, just look at it as a fresh start. This week we're just going to talk about a bit of planning and a bit of setup. Had obviously a good response to last week, and people will take their own stuff out of these. It is, again, it's my thoughts. I don't do a massive amount of preparation in these because it's a lot of stuff that I've spoke before, but I've tried to get it in a sort of chronological order that you can follow and makes a bit more sense and hopefully isn't just me spouting. I want to try and keep them a bit more bite-sized rather than monologues, so you have shorter information that's easier to digest and something that you can sort of act on at the end of it and see how it applies to your own personal situation. Last week I mentioned Gerd's situation. I've spoken to him subsequently. I moved that further in the pod when I was talking about entitlement of teams winning and that teams are, you know, aren't what they were. You know, Liverpool without Van Dijk, for example, aren't what they were last season. Barcelona are nothing like they were. And so I carry that and I'll revisit that towards the end of the season. I've got to talk with an FTS member this week about some COVID research, but for me, you know, I doubt we'll ever truly be able to define this COVID period and the effect it's had on games or lack of crowds. You know, we can assume, but I doubt we'll ever be able to say categorically that is that. And certainly I think, you know, I know we had half a season last season, we've got to probably get to the end of this season and have a look at it, and obviously see what the state of football is at the end of it all. But putting all that aside, as I say, I'll revisit that sort of, that will be stuff. People seem to think that I'm stuck in my way of saying that COVID's got nothing to do with it. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is I don't like short-term conclusions. I don't like jumping straight to, oh, it must be this, it must be that. I like to think and look over the longer picture, and there's plenty of stuff I can find going back that's happening now that has happened before. And obviously we didn't have COVID then, so it's very easy to say, oh well, it must be COVID. You know, COVID didn't cause the decline of Arsenal. COVID didn't cause Man U not to be top of the table since 2013. There's plenty of things that you can look at, results, goals, you know, distribution of those goals. There's plenty of things that you can find similarities going back 4, 5, 6 years ago. But I will devote some time to it, probably May, June. And obviously then I'll bring it up in the pod. But anyway, putting all that aside, so we did week one last week of Mindset Monday. And the question I sort of left you with at the end before we went any further was why? Why do you do this? Why do you want to do it? What's your end game? What's your goal? Once we've started to look at that, we can then go about looking at how we go about it. And without a doubt, for nearly everyone I know who has started down this path with any sort of intention of making money at it, and I'm not talking about making millions, the first step for you guys, particularly you guys who, when I say you guys, I'm being generalistic, for the people who've not made this work or flitter around or dive in and out or change services, the first step should be to regularly get something you're doing consistently, get a process and regularly turn a profit, no matter how small. Minimize risk, manage your bank and turn a small profit while sticking to a process. So those in my trading group, for example, you're just starting to see the fruits of that now. We started, didn't get off, and then COVID came along, but we're now just starting to see exactly that process, minimizing risk, managing your bank, turn a small profit while sticking to that process. And obviously with a situation like that trading group, I'm controlling the process, so you're just responding to messages. But for you guys doing it on your own, that's what you need to get. And that's the first hurdle for me for you is that start just regularly turning, stick in a process, regularly turn a profit, no matter how small, minimize your risk, manage your bank, get that profitability, convince yourself then that you can do it. And then once you can do that, that's when you can look to grow it. So the bit to come to grow it becomes what we call mastering it. I guess you want to look to master it going forward, as you would, as I said last week, any job of comparable expected income, doctor, lawyer, etc. You have to know your stuff. And mindset, as I've stated and will continue to state, is the key to mastering things. There's a leading American psychologist, Carol Dweck, from Stanford. She's well thought of in that industry. And her famous quote, and I quote, "Mindset is mastery," and I could not agree more. In a book she's in the book Drive, but in a book I read and mentioned in Pod in Lockdown, I can't remember which one it is, but one of Matthew Syed's books, might be Bounce, but I can't remember. He talks about the research about how it takes 10,000 hours to master something. Which I get, obviously, if you're devoted and you put a load of time into something, you should hopefully get better at it and that. But you need to use that 10,000 hours wisely to learn, adapt, improve your skills. I was in golf. I saw plenty of people spend lots of hours, many, and I am talking thousands of hours, hitting golf balls, not getting any better because they weren't working on anything different. They were just doing exactly the same. So they got to a level, but to improve, they would have needed lessons. They needed to have learned to hit different shots. But they weren't looking at the feedback the ball flight was giving them. They just felt that if I just stand and hit balls, I'm going to get better. Unless you are actually going to change things, why would they improve? And if a trader spends, let's say, 1,000 hours trading and is losing continually, escalating that and times it by 10 to 10,000 hours trading, if he's still doing the same thing, he's not mastering it. The emotions of this game in particular can absolutely pull you to pieces over time. And if you don't have a mindset, you've got no chance. If you do have a mindset, that mindset can lead to mastery. But we need a plan. And that is the next element for me. And I wrote about this as far back on the FTS blog as 2008 and again in 2009. What is your plan? And I think this will ultimately be sort of the bit that defines how people go on, because there's people who do this for fun and jump at every opportunity, tip, etc. they see, and then there's those who set out a plan, and part of that plan would have to be then to ignore and reject tipsters, services, people along the way, no matter how hard it is. And I do understand it's hard. You know, betting is a game that offers instant gratification. High dopamine hits lead to huge highs, can have huge lows, and in the very worst cases in people, depression, you know, loss of family life, suicide, those things are real. People who provide betting services, so, you know, go right back from the PDF days through to now, where predominantly it's things like Twitter, and, you know, I don't know whether it's rife on Facebook because I'm not on it, but I'd imagine it would be. They will always portray it in the best light. Winning services will boast and market when they win. We've done that at FTS. I've held my hands up. Yeah, with the racing, for example, we'll tend to talk about the racing when it's doing well. We won't talk about it when it's not doing well. I hope that people take a long-term view, but nobody's going to buy anything if people are saying, or sign up to anything, if people are saying, well, we've lost 30 points this week. So, you know, whilst we can slur on it, it's an understandable process. If things are doing well, people are going to tell you about it. Bettors will only post green screens and say, look at me, I've done that. Again, people will take my reasons for doing it for what they are. I do it genuinely, mostly to wind people up, because there's a few people who detest it, and that gives me my dopamine hit. Or my other main drive is to show people what is possible. One, to prove that I've put the bet on. So Telegram last night, I posted the Portugal bet, just to show I'm not just picking that out of a hat, I put the bet on, but to show you what is possible. But others do it clearly as a marketing ploy. It's a hook, a lure. And one of the big hooks, particularly if you get people who post, you know, big decent green screens, the lure in our heads is, I want to know how he did that. How did you do it? Because you want to know how to do it yourself. But the only way you're going to get there is a plan. And the plan's got to fit you. It's pointless. My plan will be completely different to your plan, to somebody's plan who's got 500 quid, to somebody's plan who's got 500 quid and three kids and not much time. They're all going to be different. And statements like, you know, my last 19 out of 20 bets or 15 out of 15 games had a second half goal serve absolutely no context whatsoever in a long-term plan that we want to build. So before we build this plan, we need to factor back to last week. Why do we want to do it? What's the end game? What are your strengths and weaknesses, which I put in there, which is really key. And then you need to plan to suit those answers from last week. So trying to get one thing following into the next. And the one quality that your plan has to account for, in my opinion, is perseverance. And there was a study, again, I think it's in Drive, which they reference West Point. 1,200 candidates a year go to West Point, which is the US military academy. And I didn't realise this, it's 4 years of training. I had no idea that that's how long the training was. So even to become a, you know, high in the US military or a soldier in the US military is 4 years of training. When you think about it, actually, probably does make sense. But I just didn't have it in my head, or that's how long it would be. But at the start of that 4 years of training, they have to do like a 7-week intense training, which is called beast training or something, and that is over that period when people drop out, that first 7 weeks, and it's something like 5% of people just drop out, 1 in 20, I think the study said. And some people tried to sort of document and study what was the factor that made the 95% go on but the 5% drop out, and they determined it down to one word. Certainly wouldn't have been the word I came up with or what I thought, but the word was grit. And they defined that word grit as perseverance and passion for long-term goals. So we go back last week talking about why we want to do it, what's the end game. And I had this notion that everybody could do what I do, and everybody wanted to do it. And I'm amazing how many people I meet now that I had that so wrong. They don't want to do it. They just want to have a bit of fun. I used to write in blog posts. I don't get who would gamble for fun, but clearly it's a massive industry and people do. I sort of think that now most people who play at it, most people are intrigued by it. I think there are people who are naturally intrigued by what we do. I think there's people who enjoy the dopamine hits, but not the dynorphin hits, which is the opposite, the sort of opposite of euphoria. So the late goal last night at Gil Vicente goes in, you get a dopamine hit, euphoric, you know, yes. If the goal doesn't come, I'm not fazed, but there's probably people who've got a feeling of lowness and disappointment. So we got to get this plan, and I compared it to jobs last week. I said, if you want to become a doctor, you know, you look at US Academy as 4 years of training. And I was talking about jobs of a similar earning capacity. But what we have to factor into that, we've got to be fully honest about that situation, is that while I make comparisons to those jobs, if you go through that training and you go through those jobs, you do invariably end up with a qualification. And I know people come to me and say a load of doctors qualify and don't get jobs. But ultimately, if you get a job, even if you're not that good at it, you're going to get paid. Now, you might get the sack eventually, but you're going to end up at maybe not a Clifford Chance law firm. You're going to end up at a law firm in Brighton, and you're going to earn half reasonable money. Obviously, the better you are at it, and depend on your aspirations, your plan, you're going to end up wherever you want to end up. You know, I'm a great believer people can end up anywhere. But you are going to get a job. You're going to get paid. In this game, our success is not a qualification and a job at the end. It's profit and loss, and it's an ever-moving feast. We can never be 100% that we're on the correct path. We can never be 100% that we're correct in any single bit. And hence, we seek, as I said last week, reassurance through others, forums, this, that, and the other. So we've always got that lingering doubt, and we need something to keep us going. Goals, aims, get that grit, if you like, that will drive us on. But if we have a structure, if we have a plan to work to, that is what we refer back to keep us going. And that plan's got to factor in everything and expectation levels. And I think that's one of the big things. Even with things like Ultimate, people see all 200 points profit and think it's easy and it's going to be there. I'm happy nudging along. I've called myself the fiddler. I like to fiddle about and nudge along. And it's amazing when you just keep following and stay on that path, how you can grow it. So you need that plan. So the plan is there to underpin our grit, really. Reference back when the dynorphin times come, the non-euphoric moments, which they will for sure. So how do we go about that now? What should be in our plan? Firstly, it's your plan. It's not my plan. It's not, you know, Dio's plan. It's not Betty Blogger's plan. It's not Suggsy's plan. It's got to be your plan. And it's not constrained. There's no constraints to what you put in it. But I think you should. I think it should contain elements such as, one of the key ones, how much money have you got available? Where's it going to come from? Can it be added to? If it's a small amount, how will it build? And I get examples, I get emails like this all the time. People emailing me, Ian, I've only got XY pounds, £500. Is your stuff for me? I never ever say yes, never ever. I always say, no, I'm not for you. What you probably need to do is go and do all the bonus type services that you can get and build up a bankroll. And if you learn to do that properly, one, you'll get used to the mechanics of process and doing something, but you can build it up risk-free. And I know these things can be troublesome and tiresome and boring, but if you're serious and you want to get a bankroll, I can't see any better way to do it than doing that, because it's available. It does need discipline. It's not stray from it. I'm always amazed, shocked, amazed, amused, I think, when I speak to Chris Jones. Chris, great lad, you know, class him as a good friend. And he sort of tells me how utterly unreal it is that people have something risk-free and can build a nice bank. And this is from a guy, you know, I don't do it, but I know he makes five figures a month doing it. But still in the chat rooms and Facebook groups and things are tales of woe from people who've lost because they haven't got a plan. They just, once they win some money, they go and spunk it somewhere else. So I think the money available and how you plan to grow it, where's it from, what's it about, is a real key part of that plan. What sort of gambler are you? Are you hands-on and like trading and the action of being involved? Are you fixed odds, like to place a bet, perhaps automate them and just wait for the outcomes? I like a bit of both. So I never in my, when I started out, had bots and it was all about trading. I'll be honest, then I got sick of trading. I got sick of sitting in front of the computer. Moved a lot more just to pure fixed odds. Having had time away from trading, I've then gone back into it, and I now probably enjoy it more than I ever did. But I've got a good balance of it, and I've structured it how I want to do it. I've refined it so I've not got so much going on, and I really enjoy it. But I don't think, you know, people again talked about, when will I pack up? And I talked about 50, which is this year. I'm certainly not going to pack up for the next 10 years. You know, that's a fact. I'm not going to do it. And I'll probably get to then and think I'm going to do another, because I actually really enjoy it. I do really enjoy, particularly the way I'm doing it now, I really enjoy what I'm doing. So that's a key thing. What is it you actually want to do? And again, that comes away from looking at where the money comes from, or the profit, or I can join that service and make that. What actually fits in with your plan of what you want to do? What time do you have available? And that is vital. And how do you make more time available? And I'm obviously talking in a time where we're locked down and can't go about. So we need to look at post COVID, if you like, going forward with this plan. But something I did, Dave asked me to do before Christmas, which was a really interesting exercise, and I'd never done it before, is to write a 7-day diary and account for every minute you spend doing things. So actually detail every minute of your day for 7 days. And I don't mean you have to fill it in by the minute, but you know, you might get up at 7:30, get up, shower and have your breakfast by 8 o'clock. So you just would put Monday, 7:30 to 8 o'clock, up, shower, breakfast. 8 o'clock, took dog for a walk. 8:25, read the news. 8:45, did some emails. You do that for 7 days and be honest, and then go through it and study it and see how much time you waste. And I mean genuinely waste, doing pointless garbage. You will be amazed. I waste as little time as possible. Mostly because compared to most people, I don't watch the volumes of TV, which seems to be a massive filler for people's time. And as I say, I appreciate that a diary now will be different to a diary in post-COVID. But interesting just to do it now and see how you use your time. You can do another one in a year's time when we're out of this mess and see how it changes. But it's a really interesting exercise to do, because if you want to do this again, people think you can do it in no time. Even if you're automating everything, there is time involved. You've got to have the time to do it. So where's that time going to come from in your plan? You know, forgetting that if you don't want to do the 7-day diary, and I know there'll be loads of people, there'll be people who start it, don't finish it, there'll be people who be, I can't be bothered to do that, and there'll be people who do 7 days. But it's a really interesting exercise to do. But you still need it in your plan. How much time do you have? It's pointless trying to say I want to be a pre-horse race trader if you can't do afternoons because you're working, because you're going to pick up on days and lose and miss days when you're going to win. You've just got to have a plan of what's my time. I talked about skills last week. What are they that you need? Do you have them? If not, what's your plan to get them? And that can fit in with your time. Have you got time to do Chris's 30 from 30 Excel course? All those sort of things. What skills is it that you need? And hopefully these podcasts over a period of time, they're going to help sort of reinforce some of those skills that you need. What sport will you bet? And a phrase I've used it on this pod many times. Too many people trying to be involved in everything, jack of all trades and master of none. Revert back again to my story last week. 3 years laying the draw, nothing else. Make sure the sport, the types of bet you're having, fit in with your bank, fit in with your time. As I say, it's no use if you've got a small bank backing big outside. You've got a small bank and you don't like losing, and you're going to start backing high-priced away teams knowing you can have a run of 20 losers. An absolute waste of time. You know, somebody last week, I'm panicking, their bank had dropped 30%, and the conversation in the chat room was, when do you give up, this, that and the other. If you've got a 100-point bank and you're going to give up when you can lose 30 points, you haven't got a 100-point bank, you've got a 30-point bank. I mean, that to me is absolute basics, it's a fact. So you didn't have a 100-point bank because you were never going to use the 70, because once you'd lost 30, that was your psychological sort of threshold, you're done there. So, you know, you've got to decide what you're going to bet and how it fits with you. And that's what you take forward. You know, the NHL has started, and somebody made reference to the NHL. It's done really well, the NHL, but it's a load of bets every single day. it's not for me. We, Steve, Soccer Star Steve and I did it for one thing. It was just manic. Couldn't cope with it. Bookmaking account shut, drove us mad. So just knocked it on the head. I didn't plan it. I just thought, oh, we'll have a go at that. When I realised what was involved, I thought, this is just nonsense. So whilst the profit at the end of it may sound great, what's actually involved to get there, and does it suit you? It certainly didn't suit me with that. So making sure, as I say, you know, if you're going to be involved in racing, there's a fair chance you need to be available midweek afternoons. How often do you see, oh, I missed that one. Set a realistic timeline. I said last week, everybody's in a rush. Everybody's charging around thinking this is completely different. Set a realistic timeline. There is no need to dive into anything. I lose count of the time I say to guys, you know, I'll show you this, follow it. Only for them to be straight in, first bet, getting the money out, bang, batting away. Couple of losers, they give up and move on. When I finish my stuff, trading group, one-to-one, portals, whatever it may be over the next 10 years, I'm going to tell those people, when those things end, and I say, that's it, I'm going to show them, I'm going to tell them, I'm going to give the sheet, I'm going to say, exactly, this is how you do it, guys. That's my sort of going away present that will be at the end. Here you go, guys. This is everything I've used. This is how I've done it. I'll probably have a couple of get-togethers and say, this is it. And that's a sort of gift from me, in effect, to those people for having faith in me over a plan for the years. But when I just post stuff like follow this, I just find it staggering that people dive in. And perhaps I shouldn't post it, I don't know. But I sort of look at it and think, well, I'll post it because then it's transparent. As we go down that road, then I can say to guys, you know those bets that there, this is what we're going to do. But I can't grasp how people do it, have two bets and then they give up. And then I think, well, I just can't be bothered anymore. I do genuinely think I'll just do it on my own. What's the point of it? So, you know, you need to have a plan of a timeline as well as what you're going to bet. Be realistic. What, you know, we talked about it last week, doing goals. Why? What's the end game? What is the realistic timeline in your plan to get where you're going to go if you want to do this properly? And I want people to do this, so you do need a realistic plan. So I don't want to sort of keep going on and on. As I say, I want to try and make these bite-sized, but that really is this week's work. What I sort of envisage is, I look at it, and I thought about this morning when I was walking the dog, how get best to get this across. Anybody who's serious about this and wants to follow along these sort of podcasts there, I want you to sit down sometime over the next 7 days, giving it some thought, and think, imagine you were starting a business, a shop. I want you to pick a shop, I want you to picture it, and then I want you to plan it out. All the things that you would need to plan for, your working hours, staff wages, what you're going to sell. Plan out everything for your hypothetical store. And then I want you to take that template that you've planned, and we're going to apply exactly the same thing to a bedding business. But instead of working hours being for staff and things, the working hours going to be yours from your diary above, how much time you got available. Instead of staff wages, it's going to be your bedding bank, that's going to be you there. Instead of what you're going to sell, it's going to be what services or what sports will you bet. So you've got a sort of business template that you're going to take and then apply it to betting, with a view to saying, yeah, because you'll start to see it on a piece of paper. You go, actually, I can do this. I can make it work. And then next week, we're going to manage that this business is up and running. And we're going to take through steps. And I'm going to start at the sort of end. I'm going to start with the managing difficult times, because I think that's the hurdle that people need to learn to get through. And then we'll go through other parts of it, as I listed last week, reacting to profit and loss and stuff like that. You know, exactly the same. You know, if you've got a shop, and you imagine shops this time of year, COVID, totally unplanned, their takings are going to be down. There's going to be people who go about it the right way. There's going to be people who panic. There, it's not pleasant for anybody, but in effect, it would be a losing spell punting. So I hope I've made some sort of sense today. In effect, the mantra of today is, don't think this is any different to any other business, and let's get a plan. And that plan is your plan. Include the things I talked about, what sports, time, money available, skills you need, etc. And then next week, we will move it forward. Arrivederci. If there's any night owls up for tonight, a first half goal in Goiás in Brazil. I don't know what it is, about 11:30 kickoff. If 0-0, 20, 25 minutes, you might fancy a late first half goal. I'm going to leave you to it, and I'll be back with you all tomorrow.